Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Welcome to Travel Advice. I'm Chris Newton, and I'm the co-host, and also my co-host, Jerry Fuller. Hi, how you doing, Jerry?
Hi, how are you all?
Hi, good. Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for last week. We had a great caller call in. We talked about European travel, but the caller talked about Peru, and we gave a great insight. Jerry ran down a lot of good itinerary for that person. And yeah, I just wanted, it was a great show. And today, this is February 12th, 2007, and today we're going to discuss family travel, actually family, vacations with children or with anybody. And we have a really special guest, Mary Jean Fuller. Welcome, Mary Jean. Hi.
Thank you. How are you?
Hi. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for being with us today. Yeah. And
the reason we asked Mary Jean to be on the program is because she and her husband have traveled all over the U.S. and all over Canada with 11 children and traveling primarily by car. And so we thought that would be a fabulous topic to talk about because many of the principles that she's learned will apply even if you fly or take them on cruises, et cetera. Well, welcome, Mary Jean.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. What do you find is the most challenging thing of traveling with children?
Well, for some people, it might be fighting, and mm-hmm. we have a little bit of that problem, but so there are a lot of ways to deal with that. One really important issue is to make sure you have a lot of things to entertain your children. Make sure you have food.
Food is
the most important thing.
Food, yeah.
As you mentioned, we travel mostly by car. And
if you're
concerned about your upholstery staying clean in your car than making sure your kids have a good time, good luck. Because we believe in serving food in the car. And that keeps people happy, and it helps the time pass by. So mm-hmm. we have a lot less contention that way, a lot less whining, and how soon are we going to be there? Mm-hmm. Because the food is not only keeps them full so they're not hungry, but also
you might sleep more.
Right, it's kind of an entertainment to them, mm-hmm. and it helps the time pass by. So we do serve a lot of meals even in the car. We'll serve sandwiches and pass them around, and then we have snacks. And I know a lot of people don't like to eat their meals in the car, and they prefer to use that as a rest stop to get out and stretch mm-hmm. legs and eat food. And that's a great idea, too. But I think even then you need to be willing to serve some snacks in the car and mm-hmm. keep people happy.
Do you ever play any games? I know when I was growing up and my parents would go traveling, we'd do things like who could spot the first license plate from a certain state or make names out of letters on the license plate and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Do anything like that?
Right, we do that. We sometimes play alphabet games where you start with A and try to find all the letters of the alphabet on signs, and if you're going through a big city, you can do that in 10 minutes, but if you're mm-hmm. out in the boondocks, that takes a while, and that's kind of fun, and mm-hmm. and when we go on a long trip, we almost always try to see how many license plates we can find. We'll try to find all the states, or
yeah.
and some...
You ever find Hawaii? That's always a gem, Hawaii or Alaska.
Every once in a while, we do find Hawaii, and we can usually find Alaska. Some of the hard ones to find, though, are Rhode Island and Delaware
Ooh.
And Maine
Ooh.
And
yeah.
Hampshire. Those uh-huh. are harder to find than Alaska and Hawaii. Well, we're in the West, but
oh, right.
but in the West, those are harder to find than Alaska and Hawaii, mm-hmm. actually.
Oh, wow. All right, yeah. Well, can I ask you a quick question, Mary Jane,
uh-huh.
too?
Sure.
Yeah, is it really hard to pick a destination, you know, with all your children kind of like all their interests, they all kind of have different interests. Is it hard to pick an activity or to, do you like divide it up, like have some people go on some activity, some of the children do a different activity? Is that an issue there?
Usually not. My husband and I usually have the main say in our main destination, But the kids will usually get excited about it, and we'll talk about it for months and say, what are some things you want to do while we're here? And they'll all come up with a lot of ideas, and, so, you know, we'll realize that some are unreasonable, and but we'll usually get a lot of input from them, from what they want to see. And as we're traveling, my husband, he'll often want to see more things than the kids will want to see. And so we end up compromising. Sometimes they'll talk him out of things, and sometimes, you know, these are museum-type things, and sometimes we'll talk them into it, and they'll go begrudgingly and then have a great time anyway.
Oh, that's great. That's a dynamic there. It's interesting. Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned before the show that you had done traveling with the children in Canada and Mexico. Do you find any difference traveling those? Any different precautions? Anything that's different than the U.S., for example?
We haven't traveled extensively in Mexico, and I guess, but when we did go there, we were a little more careful with where we let our kids go and kept them a lot closer to us because they don't speak Spanish, and, you know, you have to be more careful about the restrooms and the food and everything. So
they don't get sick?
Right. So they stayed a little bit closer to us on that trip. But we haven't traveled extensively in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, it's not a lot different than the United States, except that as far as for the kids, they have a little different rules in some places, and let's see, some things are more expensive there, but as far as the children are concerned and their ability to interact with people and see things, it's pretty much the same as the United States. And, of course, you know that now you have to have a passport for all of your children to go to Canada or Mexico.
Oh, well, is that for all the children, too, need a passport?
Right. Everyone, even if they're 2 months old, they have to have a passport.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, I didn't realize that. Wow,
that just went into effect in the first of
January.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Now, I know, was it last year, the year before, that you drove all the way to Alaska, to Fairbanks?
We did. And, you know, for our kids, that's was the highlight of their life.
really?
had a great time. So.
What made it so good? I mean, why was that trip any different?
I don't know. I guess because we were doing something nobody else ever does.
It's not too common,
You know, most people, if they drive the Alaskan Highway, it's some retired couple in an RV that takes 2 months and so for us it was really an adventure, and they got to help plan it
and
decide what things they wanted to see, and part of it was planned out very very well in advance, and other parts it was just let's see where we get to tonight and let's see what there is along the way. So
I'm more of an adventure type.
Was it enough to keep them busy during the day? Because I know as you go through an upper British Columbia maybe or through the Northwest Territory, there are long stretches with no towns or anything to do.
Right.
Did you find that a problem?
Just with our very youngest, who was five at the time, she complained a little bit and got bored. But we, you know, there are enough places to stop that you can always stop, and there are interesting things to see along the way. And one thing, you know, you're talking about getting bored along the way. I know a lot of people have DVD players or computer games in their car, and we don't. We travel to get away from it all.
So
we don't take that long, but some of our kids will read in the car if they get bored, and they have some of those little travel games that they do, and we haven't tried this, but I know some people do take a book on tape. You can get these from the library. Take a book on cassette or CD and listen to it along on a
That's a good idea.
To boring parts.
You can even go to, on the way to Alaska, you could actually do War and Peace or something.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right.
That might not interest your kids.
Right. Yeah. That's great.
Do you have any problems with finding a place to stay with a large family, or even with any, let's say you had 5 children. Is that a harder challenge with 5, 11 children?
One of the hardest things that we had is when our family got just big enough that we were too big for one hotel room, and then had to get 2 hotel rooms, and that was, you know, of course, costly, and you have to split the parents up, and, and that's kind of a challenge. But you know, as long as there are 2 parents, you can do that. And some hotels will have a little family suite that,
yeah, with the door between the 2 rooms.
Right, or they'll even have occasionally they'll have a room that has 3 beds in it that they'll allow people in if you ask.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So we have usually only reserved hotels when we've been going to a big city that we know we have to be in that particular place for a few days, and we think it's an area that is hard to get rooms. But usually when we're traveling, we don't know how far we'll be going, and so we just kind of pick something along the way.
Well, fabulous.
We've
only ever
had
have
a couple of times in all our travels that we've had a really hard time finding a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
One was somewhere, we were in Canada, somewhere between Ottawa and, where was it? Montreal and Ottawa. There's.
I've been over in that area. Yeah. That's in the middle of nowhere out there. You know, one of those.
Yeah, with the exception of the Laurentians, there's almost nothing out there, is there?
No.
Oh yeah.
And they
right.
have these little places that look like hotels.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically a food court with four rooms or something. They're kind of an odd place. We've never seen anything like that before. But if you ever travel there, you've got to stay one place or the other.
And what about restaurants?
We camped a lot too, so.
Oh, camping sounds fun. Yeah, the kids get into that. Do they get into the camping a little bit more, or
oh,
they like
love
you know?
It. They love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's great.
Now, what about restaurants? If you go to a restaurant, do you find it just easier to go to a fast food restaurant like McDonald's or Burger King, or?
We have usually done fast food. Uh huh.
It's just easier.
Oh. Faster.
Right, it's a lot easier, and you know, just the word fast is. When your kids are hungry, they usually don't want to sit and wait for their food.
Oh it sounds like food is a real good kind of it's really good on the road. If you're really hungry, you might be more irritated maybe when you're driving or something. Yeah. Great.
But, you know, the fast food, some of those places that have the playgrounds are really good to stop at, even though they maybe don't have the best food, but your kids
all right.
can get out and play. And
stretch.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know that some people, when they take their children on planes, particularly if they're boys or girls that enjoy more technical things, they will let them do some research on the type of aircraft they're going on.
Oh,
then,
that would be really interesting.
Ooh,
yeah, and they understand what's happening and how it flies. And many airlines give them little wings, for example, to the children or souvenirs to say they have flown. And
right.
So, I mean, that's a good thing if you ever have to fly as a kid. But, I wanted
really
to ask you another thing.
They're involved in the traveling part and not just
right.
When are we going to be there, and how long do we have to stand in line?
I know, because they don't understand 8 hours of sitting in the plane at first, so they've done it. Then they understand it very well.
Right.
But and let me ask, do you ever have any problems with your children getting sick as they travel?
We have. It's been a long time.
Oh, very good.
It's been a long time. I'm lucky because my husband's a physician. So we usually leave town. We usually take a little bit of antibiotics, and then I usually take some cold medicines and some Tylenol mm-hmm. and things mm-hmm. just in case. And we don't always end up using it, but I think it's good if you have things that your kids are prone to get
mm-hmm.
that you take some medicine along, even if you have to ask your doctor, say, you know,
mm-hmm.
can we take some antibiotic for my child always gets ear infections or
mm-hmm.
something like that, because finding a physician in a another state where you don't know anybody, that's kind of hard.
Well, that's a good idea. So just take the medicines that you know work on your
and
children.
And ones that you
would have used at home.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's good.
But
let me
we
ask,
usually
go ahead.
Had, you know, we've never had any serious illness on a trip. We've had, it's been a long time, but we've occasionally had stomach flu, and that's just terrible. You can't do much about it except just wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
pretty awful. But and we've had a few colds. And
mm-hmm. Have you ever had a problem with like losing a child for a while, like at some place?
Well, we actually
did.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
Is there any techniques on how not to lose them and how to find them?
Do you know, how to find them just depends on the situation really quickly. But I think when we lost a child, we were really lucky because he didn't realize he was lost.
Oh.
We lost him at a trolley stop in San Francisco. We all got on really fast because we didn't think we could get on this trolley, and there wasn't enough room. And they said, oh, get on. How many are you? And they said, get on. And we all ended up in different places. And
mm-hmm.
you know, it took me a minute to count the kids and realize somebody was missing. And so my husband and one daughter had to jump off and go back and find him. And thankfully, he didn't realize he was lost. So he was just standing there looking around, and they found him. So
thank God, yeah.
The most important thing is to teach your kids to stay there. We will find you.
Yes. So
right.
you tell them to do that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, good.
Because we had another daughter who was a little bit older, and she said, oh, if it had been me, I would have started chasing it with a trolley. And I thought, well, I'm glad it wasn't you. That was lost. So I think
you have, since you have so many children, do you have, like, you're responsible for so-and-so, a buddy-type system?
We do that in some places where we know there's a big crowd. We say there's a buddy, and we're going to meet at such and such place at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're all together, I'm always counting people.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, every 3 minutes I look around, count everybody off, and make sure somebody's
mm-hmm.
missing. My kids
mm-hmm.
think I'm paranoid, but
but
I'm
one
always
of our,
counting him off, and
that's good.
That's how we knew this
yeah.
one was missing, instead of having him missing for 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
before we
right.
well,
to find him.
We had one of our friends that went to Europe, and they took a train from Copenhagen to Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And they had six children, and they were in different compartments.
Oh.
And they had told them to get off, you know, at this particular stop. They had
uh-huh.
an adult in one and an adult in the other. And what happened is it was night, and one of the compartments got off one too soon.
Oh.
And then they had no idea what to do when they didn't find anybody else. Fortunately, they had told them that if you don't see anybody, you stay where you are.
Uh-huh.
And so the other parent realized what had happened as they pulled out. So they, when they got to the next stop, they caught the next train back and picked them up.
Uh-huh.
And they were still standing there like your son was.
Right.
So
well, I think
it's
that's
good to
the
have,
most important thing is for them to stay where, to teach them to stay where they are.
Yeah. And have
transportation,
a...
I think that's the easiest place to lose your kids. Because all the crowds pushing on and off so quickly.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, I know one family that lost a child in an airport. They were flying internationally.
Uh-huh.
And they went from a domestic terminal to an international terminal. And they thought everybody was with them. And when they check in at the international flight, one child was missing. And it took them about an hour to find him. Fortunately, the child had gone to security. And because they thought he was still, the parents were in the domestic building, it took them a while to realize what was happening.
Uh-huh.
But So, yeah, it's really important to have sort of a backup plan.
Right.
If there's going to be people. But I know my wife and I, and we don't have any children, when we travel together, we have a backup plan because my wife has a tendency to love to shop, and I just abhor it. I can't stand it. But she'll look at everything and price everything in the store and memorize it, and I get bored. I might go sit outside or stand outside, and she may be through and walk out and leave me. And we've been separated a couple of times. Because,
so you'll arrange a place and a time to meet.
Right. Yes. That's what we do. We'll just say if we vanish, just stay there, or if we know we're going to the next place, then go to the next place and just stand at the hotel entrance or whatever. But we always do that, and we have no children. But it has worked for us in all the years we've traveled together. But we do have our own ideas of what we want to do and see.
Sure.
And I think children start doing that, too. They'll, particularly in exciting places like Disney World or Disneyland, and maybe like even Niagara Falls.
Right.
They'll just get intrigued on certain things, and they don't realize everybody else left.
Right. It's not always them leaving you. It's usually you leaving them, and they're still interested in something.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I wanted to ask another question about traveling with children. Have you traveled all the time or much of the time from the first time you had one child up to now?
We have. We took our first long road trip when our oldest daughter was 10 days old. We took a 1,000-mile road trip. That wasn't.
That's a road trip. Yeah, it's a road trip.
That was mainly to visit parents. But so my husband was out of school for the summer, and we took off, and she traveled really well, and I think she just kind of let us know that you can travel with kids. So.
Now, do you find it easier to travel with 1, 2, 3, or 4, or with 9, 10, 11? Or does it matter?
Do you know, it mostly depends on the kids. And, and you know, I think because we have a lot, they know that they're not going to get our undivided attention. So they know how to entertain themselves and be friends. You know, you can have one ornery kid that can spoil your trip. As we're traveling in cars, of course, you can't do this in an airport or an airplane, but we'll sometimes, if somebody is just having a really hard time, we'll say, maybe you need to get out and walk. We'll stop the car and have them walk a block by themselves. Hmm. And if it's a really young child, of course, you get out and walk with them. But we haven't
just get rid of their energy.
Often, but we threaten it. So, anyway.
As long as they know that could happen.
Right. It didn't work with our youngest daughter. We threatened to make her get out and walk, and she thought that was a really good idea. Said, yay, can I? Anyway.
Mary Jean, did you find a lot of your children now, as they're getting older, are they really kind of inspiring to kind of explore and travel themselves? You know, like you guys kind of gave them a good foundation of going on good road trips and all that. Are they inspiring to be kind of world travelers, or is there any?
Well, they are.
Really,
we have,
yeah.
Three children that are married, and, you know, they've taken off and taken trips. Our oldest daughter, a couple of summers ago, they decided to visit all the national parks in our state, which
has
7 national parks in Utah, and they decided to go visit all the national parks. And another daughter, she and her husband, hopped in the car and driven from Salt Lake City to Seattle a couple of times. And
nice.
And our older children have, several of our children have gone to Europe with travel study programs at college. And
study abroad programs.
They've been very excited to do that, and they're not afraid to travel because they've done it before. So.
That's great. That's good to hear. That's really good to hear that, you know, that they're kind of carrying on your tradition, the family tradition, a little bit there, traveling. Yeah.
You know, I know. Yeah. My family has 7 children, and I know one of the boys, he hated travel, and he doesn't travel anywhere now. It's bizarre. The rest of us just loved traveling with a passion. But he just hated it, so he, when he turned 18, he just quit traveling. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is. That is. That is.
Have you had any of that in yours, Mary Jean? Or some
no,
say,
we haven't. We haven't.
Oh, that's good.
Really?
We had one daughter when she was really young. She was a terrible traveler. But we'd had enough that we just put up with her and just closed our ears. And
you've got to be really patient, I guess.
Little,
yeah,
but
patient.
Now she loves it. And
she's,
10 years old, I guess. And she wants to move to Alaska when she grows up. She had so much fun on that trip, and she still talks about it. It was a year and a half ago, and she still talks about it all the time. She just
really? Wow. It's a bit, it impacted her that much, really.
Well, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, let me see. What else can we talk about with traveling with children? You mentioned it and referred to it, and I was going to ask more detail about it earlier. And you mentioned that you and your husband do maybe select a major destination where you're going. You may say we're going to go to Nova Scotia, for example.
Uh-huh.
At what stage do you involve any of them to help on the route? Do they have any say on the route that you go and come?
Do you know, we usually let them pick out things they want to see. For instance, we actually did go to Nova Scotia, and along the way, one of our children said, I've always wanted to go to Gettysburg. So we stopped in Gettysburg on the way to eastern Canada.
Nice.
They always wanted to do that. But they usually put in their say about what they want to do. But I'm usually the one who has to sit down and figure out miles and where it's reasonable to, how far is reasonable to go in a day, and where are reasonable places to stay at night. And I usually do that. But, you know, that would be fun to actually involve the kids and say, help me figure this out.
Yeah. Do you have many children atlases in the house? You know, like atlases that they look at the maps and kind of get them. Yeah,
well,
really?
We usually buy a new big Rand McNally Road Atlas every year, and we keep our
nice.
And let the kids look at those. And they like to know where we're going. I mean, as we travel along, several dozen times in a day, somebody in the back will say, let me see the atlas. They want to know where we're going and how far it's been and how many miles till such and such and what this is on this road off this way. And
I was the same way when I was a child. I always had to have the map in my hand when I traveled with my family. Yeah, I was like the navigator guy, as a little child. Yeah, that's great.
Well, as we're talking, I just remembered a game that we used to take because my dad always took an atlas with him. And we'd take turns, and you'd say, name me every Paris in the world. And there's a Paris, Texas, and Paris, France, and Paris, this. And on and on. And if you got that, then that was the person that was able to select the next whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't always named the every Paris in the world. It could be named the four highest mountain ranges or something like that.
Oh, great, yeah.
Or the sea that is found between Italy and Albania or something like that. And you'd have to guess until you got it. So that kept us busy for hours upon hours as we traveled.
Oh, that's great. It really passes the time away, and then you get excited about the areas,
Right,
That's great. Well, that's great. Well, you know what? It looks like we're almost out of time here.
Wow.
Guys, it really flew by.
Well, Mary Jean, thanks so much for calling in.
Well, thank you
for
inviting me. It's been really fun, and I hope everybody who's traveling with kids has a great time. Sometimes you just have to be patient, but you have a great time with kids.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Mary Jean. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you can listen to the show, actually, Mary Jean, the archives of the show on www.blogtalkradio.com.
Okay.
There. And slash, after the .com, you can put a slash on there, and then it's travel-advice. And we can email that to you. But, anybody can listen to it over and over. You know, you can listen to the archives there. So just to let you know that. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Let's not forget to give everybody our email address.
Do you want to give it, Jerry?
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, sure. Yeah, we have a new email now that where people you can email your questions and your itinerary, you know, any travel advice you need at the email is travel advice show, all one word, travel advice show, and advice, A-D-V-I-C-E, so travel advice show at the at sign traveladvice.com is the direct email that Jerry and I can see that before the show, and we can answer your questions right on the show, right on the live show.
Yeah, and if you do it during the week, we'll answer you by email and maybe tell you more about it like we did a couple of weeks ago. Somebody traveling from Australia and Argentina. So don't hesitate to give us a call or email us and listen to the archives. And what's our topic next week, Chris?
Next week it is, let me check here. I think it's, let me check real quick here. It is, next week is Mexico travel. So we're going to kind of, I guess, concentrate on Mexico area.
Fantastic.
There, yeah. So, well, actually, it's the 19th. Yeah, February 19th is Mexico, and then the following week on the 26th, we're going to talk about Antarctica. We're gonna give advice about going to Antarctica. I've never been to Antarctica, but that sounds. But you've been there a few times, eh, Jerry?
I've been there five times.
Five times. Wow, that's great. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thanks again, Mary Jean. There.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, and see you next week, Jerry. I'll talk to you
next week,
and we'll talk about Mexico there.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you all have a great day.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
See you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.